Good evening. Scarlett Hiltividal, in her book, Afraid of All the Things, writes, I had always had things to be afraid of. I'd have seasons in adulthood when I couldn't stop hyperventilating. I had a black widow phase, a sinkhole phase, a rare infectious disease phase, this sounds like me, a bad guys phase, a pretty major tornado phase. My husband jokes regularly about my frequent YouTube deep dives into tornado destruction videos. What you doing? Watching a tornado swallow a warehouse in China 3 years ago? Why? Because a tornado swallowed a warehouse in China 3 years ago. Do you know what it feels like when your appendix ruptures? The burst of hot, searing pain in the lower right side of your abdomen? The invisible spear that punches you so suddenly and so acutely that your feet go out from under you, like you slipped on black ice, and your body contorts into the fetal position faster than the final death rattle? Do you know that pain? Yeah, I don't know what that feels like either. My appendix is holding strong. But whenever I learned that appendicitis was a thing during a casual skimming of Madeline, I just knew it was my fate. That and all the other ailments and grave situations I've ever heard of. Cancer, AIDS, black widow bites, severe bee allergies, tumors, chronic hiccups. All right, I promise I did not write that, but I might as well have. My mom knows this well, because I feel like I always think I'm dying of something. Every time I find a lump or a bump, I'm like, is it cancer? Should I be worried about this? I am a worrier by nature, I will admit. And so I've gone to my mom many times throughout the years, and I'm like, Mom, should I be worried about this? And I ask her in so many ways, and it's like I need so much affirmation that I'm okay, and I'm okay, and I'm okay. But all jokes aside, one time the Lord told me when I said, should I be worried about? He said the answer is always no, because you should not worry about anything. You should not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So this is like one of my favorite passages of scripture ever, because I'm a real worrier by nature. So it just so happened that this was my passage in the rotation, and I was like, oh, Pastor Stephen, this is the easiest passage. Thank you. I lucked out because I know so much of this because I've had to study it all my life. And I've not arrived at the point where I'm not a worrier anymore, but I'm consciously working on it. And we're going to learn how the word can help us with our anxieties. Amen? So our central theme tonight is, you should always rejoice in the Lord. Again, this is just such a great passage. It's Philippians 4, 4 through 9. You can follow along. I believe it'll be on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So again, I've probably struggled with worry most of my life. I am a worrier by nature. And so I've tried many things to help me through it, right? And anxiety is a real thing, and it can be crippling. But I do want to say, of all the things that I've tried to help me with my fear, worry, and anxiety, I can honestly say that the only thing that truly takes the edge off is praying, listening, and speaking to the Word of God. It's just the only thing that works for me. And I do want to take a minute and just talk real quick about mental health, because that's a thing. And people struggle with anxiety and take meds and have therapy. And, you know, those are things that God uses. So I'm not saying that, you know, this is the only thing that helps. But I want to say, because I struggle with that and I've had all of those things. But I just want to say that the only thing that truly works and takes that edge off is praying and speaking the word of God. It's so powerful. It's ironic that Paul is writing to the Philippians from prison. And he's like, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says it a couple of times. So he's really trying to encourage and reiterate that you should rejoice in the Lord always. And you know what that shows? It shows that our joy is not a reflection of what our outward environment is. Our inward attitude does not necessarily reflect how things are going on with around us. His thoughts, feelings, and attitudes were so focused on the Lord, and it even mentioned, he mentioned that the Lord is near. And he was very aware of Christ's return one day. And that's what enabled him to say, you know what, rejoice in the Lord always. He faced extreme persecution, always kind of on the verge of being excommunicated, thrown out of towns. He had to deal with false teachers, problems, so much drama amongst the believers in the church. He was constantly had things to be anxious and worried about. But yet, he was like, rejoice in the Lord. I don't want to steal Miko scriptures for next week, but one thing that we will hear next week is just Paul's ability to be content in any and every circumstance. And that was the Lord, because he was able to, whether he was hungry or whether he was full, and I'll stop right there because Miko's going to go into it next week. But I don't know about you, I want that kind of joy and peace. So we're going to talk about how we can get there. So you should always rejoice in the Lord, and instead of worrying, you should pray. Have you ever met someone that just doesn't worry? They're just really chill, and maybe it's partially personality, right? I'm not naturally that person. But I don't know if he's here tonight or not, but Wayne Albrecht is one of those people. Wayne and Brenda both, actually. And I've been at the altar and have prayed before, and he's prayed for me about maybe something medical or physical or whatever. And he always says with that smile, God is in control, right? But it's true. And some people, like Wayne, are able to live that. And I don't know about you, but I want to live that, and I can live that, and you can live that as well. And Paul was one of those people, and he showed us how we can get there. Well, one of those things is prayer, turning your anxieties into prayer, because the Lord cares, and he is the only one that can give us that peace that passes all understanding. Worrying also shows that we don't fully trust in God. And so we, you know, Paul, again, he was always looking forward to Christ's return, so he knew he could live a worry-free life. Another one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 6, verse 25. And Jesus commanded us, he said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Now, I just want to stop there real quick. Because I remember this summer when I was anxious about something, I took out my scripture cheat sheets, and I have this cheat sheet of fear-fighting scriptures. I stole it from a book, but I keep them with me because, again, the only thing that truly helps me is the word of God and speaking it and praying it. And you know what I did? I stopped there. I just kept saying, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, period. And it does go on to explain more, but even that is such a solid, such a strong command from Jesus. And then it goes on to say, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? So just because I'm worrying, that's not going to change or help me live longer, right? That's not going to help anyways. So I actually have on my table, my dining room table, I have that verse written out. Somebody actually had given it to me, and I have a little bird, a little sparrow, right beside it. And because Jesus, he knows all the hairs on our heads, and I have a whole lot of hair, and it sheds every day. And he knows from day to day how much hair I have on my head. And he cares about sparrows, he cares about birds, he takes care of them. So how much more will he take care of his own, his children, his beloved? I was studying for the sermon Saturday night, and in the commentary that Pastor Stephen gave us, I noticed an MLK Jr. quote, and it's really cool because MLK was, you know, we celebrated his birthday on the same day, actually, as MLK Day, and I just thought it was cool that it just so happened to be in the commentary as I was studying, and I don't know how much you guys know about MLK, but he was actually a pastor. He was a real man of God, and I love what he said. He said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will, and he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. And this was written or said in an address he gave the night before he died. And how many of us can say, I'm not worried about anything. I'm happy tonight, you know, and just being able to trust. He's like, I just want to do God's will. I'm not worried about anything else. And I want to be that person. You can't just tell somebody that's anxious not to be anxious, right? You're like, well, then I can't be anxious. And then you're anxious about being anxious. And then you're like, I'm a bad person because I'm anxious. And da-da-da-da-da-da. But I'm just so thankful that we can then, instead of worrying about being anxious, we can actually go to God with our anxieties. Fear-fighting verses, that's what I think of. And we can just go and give it to God in prayer. Prayer is the antidote to worry. You know, again, every time a new situation rises, I have to work that muscle. I'm not very fit in this area, but I tell you, the more and more you work that muscle, you practice, you prepare, it does get easier and easier each time. And thankfully, again, we're not doomed. We have something that we can do with our worry. God cares about the tiniest, most intricate details of our lives. He wants to be as involved in our lives as we will allow him to be. The big, the small, the minute. The verse doesn't just say, only pray about cancer. Only pray about financial stress. Only pray for someone to be saved. Of course, all of those things are included in the pray about everything. But we can pray about everyday, mundane, minute details, and he cares about them. If it matters to you, it matters to him. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us for groanings too deep for words. It's interesting. I had already written this sermon. Pastor Stephen's my witness, so I emailed it to him already. And then I listened to a Charles Spurgeon sermon last night, and it was just on the Holy Spirit. It wasn't even about anxiety or anything. And the scripture was in there, Romans 8, 26. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. Maybe we are so overwhelmed and there's just no words, no English or Spanish or Russian or whatever your original language is, words that will come out. But we as believers, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us, and he knows what we need more than we do, right? And so sometimes, I tell you, when you just don't know what to pray, just start praying in the Spirit. I know I do that a lot. And sometimes we need that extra power, right? That power from the Holy Spirit. He knows what to pray for. And also, the author of the commentary I was studying also says, imagine never worrying about anything. That seems like an impossibility. Everyone has worries on the job, at home, or at school. But Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayers. Do you want to worry less? Then pray more. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. All right, so you should always rejoice in the Lord. You should pray instead of worrying. And that leads us to our next point. You can experience God's peace. It's possible here on earth, my friends. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is not Zen. This is not absence of war. This is not, you know, the Jamaican term, everything is going to be all right. No, this is not that. This is God's peace that passes all understanding. It's unfathomable. We can't understand it. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that should be in turmoil because of something they're going through, but they have peace and you're like, how? I couldn't be that calm. I couldn't be that strong. I couldn't do that. I've known friends that have lost loved husband in the middle of the night, young, and I'm like, how can this person have that peace? And it's God's grace, and that's where it's unfathomable. It cannot be conjured up. It cannot be faked. It's the peace that passes all understanding, and it does. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. One of my best friends is one of those people, and he just plain trusts God no matter what. And I like to pick people's brains like that because, again, it's something I'm always studying and trying to get better at and improve in. I pick people's brains like that. Like, why are you always so, you just trust God no matter what. And one of the things he said is, because I've been through the worst and I'm still here and God is still good. He was homeless on Skid Row in LA, sexually abused by family members growing up, physically abused. He's had multiple siblings shot and killed, murdered, siblings in prison for 10 plus years. Like, literally, he'll say he came from the gutter. And yet, he trusts God so much. And it's because, again, God has come through for him even in the midst of the most difficult things. So we can have peace that passes all understanding even when it doesn't make any sense. I'd rather have that kind of peace anyways. The peace that just doesn't make sense, I don't know where it comes from, but because it's God's peace. A funny thing too, a few years ago, he was actually surfing on a lake with a rope attached to the back of the boat, and he actually wrapped his fingers around the rope accidentally, and his thumb was severed, half of it. And I guess he popped out of the water and goes, my thumb's missing. Like, so again, that peace that passes all understanding. I want to trust the Lord like that. It's all good. He's got it all reattached and it works. But I just love that the Lord can give peace and trust. That's what I want. That's my goal. The same girl that wrote the thing from the intro, passage that I read, she also wrote a Bible study called Anxious, Fighting Anxiety with the Word of God. And she says this, the Lord has reminded me again and again through his word and through his spirit that ultimate peace is our hope someday, but abundant life is available today. Forever peace is coming, but abundant life is available today. You know, the word guard that Paul uses in the scripture to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the Philippians would know very well what that word meant. And it has to do with like a garrison. And their city was guarded by soldiers to keep, you know, people from attacking. And just as the guards stood outside of the city so that no one would enter and attack, he used that metaphor or analogy for us. It would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus so that that protection from outward attack, from the enemy's attack, from the world, we have that. We have that guard over our minds and over our hearts. And it's God's peace is like those soldiers surrounding our minds and hearts. So you should always rejoice in the Lord through praying instead of worrying, experiencing God's peace. And our last point is, you should think excellent thoughts. My mom used to quote the scripture to me literally as a little girl, because again, you know, just the history of my struggles. I remember her saying it, Christina, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, and I would have to repeat it. So verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If you're like me, sometimes your thoughts might, you know, spiral out of control and go from 0 to 60, and sometimes our feelings overtake us and we think based on our feelings, which is not good, right? Our feelings change, but the Word of God never changes. And so when our thoughts start spiraling out of control, we need to change those thoughts and think excellent thoughts. Thoughts that are true, thoughts that are honorable, just, pure, lovely, excellent, worthy of praise. Because maybe we won't feel saved at times. Maybe we won't feel chosen. Maybe we won't feel brave. Maybe we don't feel forgiven. Maybe we don't feel important. Well, the Word of God never changes. It's immutable. It cannot change. And so when, you know, when we are continuously speaking and quoting the Word of God, which is true, and it's always true, and it's never going to change. That's what is true. That will help us train our minds. One thing I did a couple years ago is I took a bunch of sticky notes, and I literally put them all over my apartment. If you came into my apartment, it might be weird because you'd see chosen, missionary, like, you know, saved. Like, what does this mean? Forgiven. And it's what I did is I took whatever the scriptures said about who I am in Christ, and I just plastered them all over my apartment. I mean, everywhere. And because it was a reminder that maybe when I'm not feeling forgiven, that I am forgiven. Maybe I'm not feeling pure, I am pure through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe I'm not feeling, worthy. I am worthy. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's important for us, whether it's visual, I mean, that helps me, but whatever it is, to be constantly removing all the bad thoughts from our minds and replacing them with excellent thoughts. I'm sure you've heard of the phrase, it's been around for forever, garbage in, garbage out. And it's true. What we take in and put into our minds, it affects us. It just does. We are visual human beings. And if we're watching shows and movies and contaminating our minds and always around people that maybe are speaking things that are not excellent, if we are putting ourselves in those environments, it is going to affect us. And we can't think that we're going to be able to control our minds and hearts if we're just constantly getting that. So you can't just get all those thoughts out, right? You have to replace them with something. And so we need to meditate on the truth of God's word. And then we'll automatically rejoice in the Lord anyways, right? Because the truth of God's word is good news. We need to take in that truth as much as possible. How can you do that? Well, you could listen to worship music. I'm an audible learner. As a teacher, I can tell you I'm an audible learner. I listen to the Bible on audio. I just feel like it gets into me. You can read the Bible, speak the word, surround yourself with other believers who are speaking and watching and listening to godly content. Literally immerse yourself so that you have less space for garbage. If you're so full of God's word and purity and excellence, then you're not going to have the space for worldly things. Fill up those empty spaces in your hearts and minds with true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise things. The Bible says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So what happens if our biggest fears do come true? What happens when the people that we pray for and we believe for a miracle aren't healed? What happens when there's a sick child and we just pray and we trust and we declare and we believe and we're like, they're going to be healed in Jesus' name, and they aren't? Well, the Bible doesn't guarantee that our prayers are always going to go in our favor. But ultimate peace comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. Because he died for our sins, we have peace with him here on earth, but we also have peace knowing that we will be with him for forever. One day he is going to make all things new, and he is going to, you know, give us new life, and he will make all things right. This earth is just, we're just passing through, right? I know you've heard that, and I can't fathom, none of us can, our infinite minds cannot fathom how short this life is compared to eternity. We can't even fathom it. Honestly, though, I feel like Paul, that's a reason why he could have such joy. I just believe Paul, like, knew that. He just knew that, you know what? Yeah, I'm in prison. Yeah, I'm tortured. But this is such a small part of my life compared to eternity, and I can get through this. Paul, like, actually wanted to go be with Jesus. And I'm like, is that selfish or not? Like, I love it. He was like, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He's like, actually, I'd like to just leave you guys and go be with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But he's like, but it's better for you if I stay here. Like, he wanted to keep encouraging and keep ministering and keep evangelizing. But I truly believe Paul knew how short this life was. And so in light of eternity, he could choose joy. This is just a short time. Let me embrace it. Let me utilize this time to witness to as many as I can. But so we too, we have that peace. We have that. I don't think that Paul thought his life on earth would end well. I just don't. I'm sure he knew it was coming, but he still continued the mission. There's this prayer for serenity I came across. It's not the serenity prayer, but it's just a prayer for serenity. And I really loved it. It says, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. I just think that's cool because we can be reasonably happy here. The goal is not for us to just be supremely happy here, but we can have peace and abundant life here, knowing that our ultimate happiness is in heaven. If the worship team could come up, we are gonna begin our close. You know, we've studied a lot about how we should rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what, even if we're worrying, even if we're anxious. And we should turn our anxieties into prayers, and then we're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. And that we should think excellent thoughts. We should remove the garbage in our life by replacing it with Christ-like thoughts, the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you if you are anxious all the time and you're up at night and you really, really struggle maybe with fear and anxiety, I believe God wants to touch you and take the edge off. I believe he wants to teach you how to turn those anxieties into prayers. So I'm going to ask you to come forward during this time and just seek the Lord and pray and give all your anxieties and your worries to him. I'd also like you to come up if maybe you're struggling to rejoice in the Lord. Maybe you feel as though this life is hard, and it is hard. It is. It is hard. This world is hard, but he's overcome the world, and maybe you just need to figure out, you know, how do I get this joy that Paul had, even though he was in prison? Well, I'm going to invite you to come up and pray and ask the Lord to show you and just fill you with his joy so that you too can rejoice in the Lord always. And lastly, I'm going to ask you to come up if you just feel as though you want to get rid of some of that garbage in your mind and in your heart, and you want to ask the Lord to forgive you, want to just surrender and ask him to infiltrate your mind with godly thoughts and godly things. So I'm going to ask you to respond now if you fall into one of those categories. And I'm going to just start praying as you come, and just praying over you. And just allow God to minister to you in those areas. Jesus, we just come before you, God, and I just pray, Lord, for those, God, who just struggle with fear and anxiety, Lord. And I know, Lord God, it is a thing, and I just know, God, that your word is powerful, and that, Lord Jesus, you can heal, and you can just bring relief, Lord God, because, Lord, yes, in this world we have trouble, God, but you have overcome the world, Lord Jesus. And so, Father God, I pray for those that are suffering, Lord Jesus, from this. I pray that you touch their minds. I pray that, God, you would give them unfathomable peace, Lord. Peace that truly surpasses all understanding. Peace, Lord God, that is incomprehensible, that doesn't make sense for whatever they're going through, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would just do that. You would cover their minds. Jesus, for those that, Lord, this life has seemed so hard for so long, and maybe things don't seem to be going so well, Lord, I pray that, Jesus, you would help them to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. Lord, you'd fill them with the joy of the Lord, God, not based on our circumstances, but based in the knowledge that, Jesus, you are coming back for us, Lord. And Father, we ask you to forgive us. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us, Jesus, for our thoughts that haven't been right. Maybe they're mean thoughts about people, Lord God. Maybe they're impure thoughts, things that don't honor you, Lord God. Jesus, maybe they're jealous thoughts, or even just negative thoughts, Lord God, or prideful thoughts, or maybe our thoughts just aren't on you in general. Lord, I pray that, God, you would renew our minds, Jesus, that you would just fill our minds, Lord God, with you, Jesus. Give us the skills, give us the tools. We already have them, but help us to utilize those tools, Jesus, in order to live a life, Lord God, that pleases you. We thank you, Jesus. Continue to seek the Lord, friends. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.